Now, before I get into the word, I just want to say this, that this morning during worship, God is just moving in our midst. And, you know, last weekend, we have the Celebrating Cell community. And it was very interesting because at the foyer at Katong campus, different people were taking the pictures with me, but the life-size cardboard, right? And then I walked past, and they all were taking pictures, and then they wave, "Hi, Pastor Kevin! Hi, Pastor Kevin!" I walked past, and I thought to myself, something is not right. You have a live person here, and you'd rather take a picture with the cardboard. What I want to say is this. This morning, don't miss God. You know, we can come to church every weekend, but we may miss what God is doing in your life and what He wants to speak to us today, right? So don't let God pass you by because you're doing church, but church is really where we come and receive from the Lord what He wants to say to us in our situation. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we just thank You for Your presence in this place already. We thank You. Lord, we ask for a fresh anointing upon each one of us, upon the one who is speaking and upon the one who is listening. We ask for a fresh word for each one of us, Lord, that You will bless us with a fresh word, a now word, a word in season. And so, God, we pray, open Your word to us as we open our hearts to receive Your truth. We commit the service into Your hands. May today's word be life-changing and bring great honor to Your name. We give You all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. Now, we often celebrate fruitfulness as the mark of a life well lived. And that's great. We pray to be fruitful. We want our lives to count, and we want to see the works of our hands being blessed. And we want to look back and know that our lives have made a difference. But what happens when you finally become fruitful and God is still not finished with you? What happens when the results you prayed for is followed by another season that you never prayed for? The pressure comes again. The disappointments return. The questions don't go away. And you find yourself wondering, I thought I've already learned the lesson. I thought I've passed the test. I thought it would be easier by now. Have you ever felt that way? Perhaps we have misunderstood something about fruitfulness. What we thought was the destination was never meant to be the destination at all. Because in John chapter 15, Jesus shows us that there is more. And so my message is titled, Beyond Fruitfulness. And my text is taken from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. Let's read it. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear its fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now, John chapter 15 opens with the seventh and final I am statement of Jesus. I am the true vine. So throughout John's gospel, Jesus has been revealing himself to the people. He is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. He is the door. He is the good shepherd. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Each one reveals his identity to us. But this final I am does something different. It reveals what life with Jesus is meant to be. And so the movement shifts from something, the movement streams from believing to abiding, from coming to Christ to remaining in Him. Now picture this, the Last Supper has just ended. Jesus and His disciples are walking towards Gethsemane, and along the way, most scholars believe that they would have passed by vineyards. And Jesus looked at those vines in a vineyard and said, I am the true vine. So these are not words spoken at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. These are his final words before the cross. Because within hours, he will be betrayed. By morning, he will stand trial, and by afternoon, he will be crucified. Now, when someone knows that they are about to die, every word carries weight. People remember final words and treasure them because last words reveal what mattered most. And among all the things that Jesus could have said, the final lesson before the cross was about the vine. So that should make us pay attention. So what does God do when a branch begins to bear fruit? Most of us will answer, of course, he blesses them. That's true, because naturally we assume that once we have become fruitful, the hard part is over. We celebrate the fruit, but God looks beyond the fruit. We think we have arrived, but God says, I'm not finished with you yet. Here, Jesus gives us a surprising answer where he says, when a branch begins to bear fruit, he prunes it. Because in the kingdom of God, fruitfulness is not the finish line. It is the beginning of a deeper work, an invitation to into a deeper season of transformation in Christ. So God prunes what he blesses. That's point one. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So this verse unsettles many Christians, not because it is difficult to understand, but because it is painfully clear. And so here's the sobering truth. The fruitless branch is removed. The fruitful branch is pruned. So notice this, that both will experience cutting, but for completely different reasons. One is cut off, the other is cut back. One loses its place, the other is being prepared to bear more fruit. So that means if you are bearing fruit now, don't be surprised when God begins to prune. So the invitation of John chapter 15 is not to avoid the cutting or the knife, but to remain in the vine regardless of what's happening or whichever season you are in. Now, for those who are not familiar with pruning, let me show you what pruning is not. Last December, my family and I had the privilege to go on holiday in Jeju, South Korea. For those of you who are thinking what to do for year-end family holiday, this is the word, Jeju, South Korea. We visited a beautiful botanical garden filled with flowers and trees. And then I saw this display board showing this magnificent tree covered with brilliant golden leaves. I thought to myself, I got to find this tree in this huge garden. And so I walked all over the garden looking for the tree. And when I finally found it, I was so disappointed. It looked nothing like the picture on the board. It was completely bald. That wasn't a prune tree. That's what I call a bota tree. Right, bota means Malay bald in Malay language. Now, the funny thing was that this year, April, another church member went to the same place, Jeju, to the same garden and visited the same tree and said, Pastor, this is what you miss. Nice tree with green leaves. I said, Brother, what are you trying to do? So we have to go back to Jeju again. Pruning often feels like loss before it feels like purpose. It feels like something good is being taken away from you. It looks like doors closing on you, prayers unanswered, opportunities disappearing, and relationships ending, and your freedom becoming restriction. And that's where many believers or Christians misunderstand God. We often assume that if something is being removed or blocked, then God must be displeased with me. That is not true for all the time. Because God does not prune because he has given up on you or he sees less in you. He prunes because precisely he sees there's more in you. So he's not reducing your future. He's preparing you for your future and for what is to come. So sometimes when God removes, it is not sinful. It is simply no longer necessary in your life and what is no longer required for the next season of your life. And that is exactly how a vineyard works. So to the untrained eye, pruning looks wasteful. The vine dresser cuts healthy branches and he removes growth that appears to be still alive and thriving. Now, why is that so? Because grapevines don't produce their best fruit simply by growing bigger. They produce more fruit and best fruit when their strength is concentrated into a few branches. Now, if left alone, the vine becomes full of leaves but short on grapes. It looks impressive, but appearance is not the same as fruitfulness. So pruning redirects life from wild growth to focused growth, from impressive appearance to lasting harvest. And God does exactly the same thing in our lives. So pruning is never proof that God has abandoned you. It is evidence that He still cares enough. He cares for you to shape you and to develop you, because a neglected vine is left alone, but a loved vine is carefully cut. So let's look at what a pruned vine looks like. So what appears to be lost now is actually preparation for more fruit to come. The pruned branches that remain attached to the vine will bear fruit. Branches lying on the ground never will, because they are cut off. So that brings us to this sobering truth that Jesus is teaching, that He warns us that fruitlessness is never something to be treated lightly. When a branch which represents someone who was once saved ceases to abide in the vine, who is Christ, it withers and stops bearing fruit, and eventually it is cut off from the vine, thrown into the fire, and burned. Now, for a branch to be cut off, it must first have been attached to the vine. So that's why I believe John 15 is a sobering warning to every single Christian that salvation is not a license to live however you please. You can't live however you want and expect to go to heaven. So the warnings of Scriptures are unmistakable. If we persist in unrepentant sin or refuse to return to Christ, we place ourselves in great spiritual danger of being cut off from Him. And so the issue is not whether you were born again 10 years ago. The real question is, are you still abiding in the Lord today? Is His life flowing through you today? Are you still responding when He speaks today? So let's not harden our hearts towards the Lord. Amen? Now, also in John chapter 15, Jesus shows us that fruitfulness is not a single destination. There are different levels of fruitfulness. And that's my second point, growing in fruitfulness. John 15 tells us that Jesus doesn't use the word fruit just once. He repeats it, but each time He raises the expectation. Verse 2 says, "Every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, so that it may bear more fruit." And then verse 5, "He who abides in Me and I in him bears much fruit." So we have fruit, more fruit, which is countable, we can still count it, and much fruit, which is uncountable now. So this isn't repetition, this is spiritual progression. Jesus is describing the normal journey of every Christian. Our spiritual life was never meant to be static or to remain where it began. God doesn't just save us, He grows us, matures us, and transforms us. So let's look at the three levels of fruitfulness here very quickly. Bearing fruit, the first level, tells us that there is life. So for a branch to bear fruit, the branch is alive. The branch is connected and life is flowing. And then we come to more fruit. It's the result of pruning. God removes whatever competes within His life, with His life within us. And then we come to much fruit, which comes through abiding, not striving, not performing, not exhausting ourselves, trying to impress God, but remaining close to Jesus. And the closer we remain in the vine, the more His life flows through us. And this is why God is not looking for activity, He's looking for fruit. So leaves may look impressive, but leaves never fed anyone. And this is still happening to us in modern day. We can have busy schedules, busy calendars, busy ministries, busy church lives, busy replying social media and posting on social media, and yet little evidence of Christ being formed within us. Because God never impressed. He's never impressed by leaves. He's looking for fruit. And then he brings us to another level because fruitfulness is not the final destination either. Many believers think, well, now I've borne fruit, I've produced some fruit, I've served already, I've been faithful. I think I have arrived. But Jesus is saying to us, no, there is more. You have fruit, more fruit, and much fruit, because God is always inviting us to go deeper with Him. And then Jesus said something remarkable in verse 8. He says that, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So the goal isn't simply that we become fruitful, as many of us think, that as long as we are fruitful, we are fine. That's not the goal. The goal is to glorify the Heavenly Father in all that we do. So when our lives bear much fruit, God receives the glory and others around us receive the blessing. And when we experience the joy of walking closely with Christ. So here's the truth, that fruitfulness has never been about us. It has always been about Him. Amen. Now, what does fruit actually look like spiritually? We talk about fruitfulness, we talk about, you know, growing, but what does fruit actually represent spiritually? I want to share four things here, because we often equate fruitfulness with success, influence, numbers, but Jesus paints a very different picture. Fruit is the visible evidence that the life of Christ is flowing through us. So first, fruit looks like Christ-like character. As we abide in Christ, we become more like Him. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 gives us the qualities of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So it tells us that God is far more interested in who we are becoming than what we are accomplishing. Second, fruit looks like loving obedience. Jesus said in John 15, 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So we do not obey God to earn His love, but we obey Him because we have already received His love to us. So Christian obedience is not driven by fear, it is driven by love. Everything that we do for the Lord is driven by because He has already loved us. God's love in us is the motivation to do right, to live right, and to honor Him in all that we do. Amen. Now third, fruit looks like sacrificial love for others. John 15, 12, Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love each other the same way I have loved you. So this is covenant love. Love that forgives, love that serves, and love that lays down your life for another. And people should experience something of Jesus whenever they hang out with us, whenever they meet us. And that is the mark, or that's the fruit that comes out from you, that when people talk to you after they hang out with you, and they will tell you, wow, you must have been with Jesus because I see Christ in you. Amen. Now, fourth, fruit looks like prayer aligned with God's Word. John 15, verse 7, Jesus said that if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it shall be done for you. Many of us think that this is like a blank check. Just whatever we ask, God will do it. And then why it doesn't happen? It doesn't happen because this is not a blank check. This is an invitation into a deeper relationship with God. Because the longer we remain or spend time with Jesus, the more our desires become aligned with His and our prayers begin to reflect His heart rather than our own desires. But the thing is this, well, I know about fruit, I know about fruitfulness, but I have a question. Why does crushing sometimes come after a season of fruitfulness? You're doing the right things. You're doing things right. You have been faithful. You have obeyed. You have walked with God. You have borne some fruit. But why does another season of pressure arrive so soon? Another disappointment maybe? Another breaking? Or another surrender? I thought I've just surrendered. Why must I surrender some more? Have you ever asked the Lord this question? Well, because I have. I said, Lord, I thought I was being fruitful. I thought I was being productive. I thought I have passed the test. Why is this happening to me again? And then the Lord dropped this thought into my heart. He says this, not everyone buys a vineyard just to sell grapes. Not everyone buys a vineyard just to sell grapes. No one buys a vineyard, pays a high price, and waits for years just to eat the grapes at the harvest. They're after something greater. They're after something more valuable. They're after something that will last long or longer. What are they after? They are after the wine. And you don't get wine without crushing the grapes. So that brings us to my third point, beyond fruitfulness. The world's most expensive grapes are sold in an auction for US$10,000. Those are expensive grape juice. The most expensive bottle of wine was sold in an auction for more than $500,000, US$558,000 to be exact. So even the world's most expensive grapes will rot one day. But the world's most valuable wine is crushed from the best grapes, and then it is aged and it is preserved. So when God allows crushing in your life, He is not crushing who you are. It is not because He's angry with you also. It is not because you have failed, but it is because He's releasing something that He has already formed in you. Because some seasons are not about what you grow. Some seasons are about what God wants to release through you. And that's why your tears may become someone else's healing. Your testimony may become someone else's faith. And your pain may become someone else's courage. And they do find healing through what you're going through. So you see, grapes feed people around you, but wine blesses generations beyond you. In other words, grapes are seasonal, but wine is generational. Now, I'm not talking about drinking wine, obviously. I'm talking about the crushing, what crushing produces. I know some of you are thinking, we're in a prophetic church. I know what you're thinking. Some of you are thinking lunch too. God often uses seasons of crushing to create a legacy that outlives us. So if I could put it this way, pruning produces life, but crushing produces legacy. And God doesn't just want to produce something that lasts for a moment in us or through us. He wants to produce something in us that will carry or carries lasting influence and impact. Look at the life of Jesus in Isaiah 53, verse 10. Tells us that Jesus Himself was crushed for our salvation. And His crushing brought us salvation once and for all. Because Jesus was crushed, we can be forgiven. Because Jesus was crushed, we can be made whole. And so here's how I see it. Pruning removes what is unnecessary, but crushing releases what is valuable in you. And that's why sometimes after fruitfulness comes pressure again. After obedience comes another burden that you have to carry. After success comes another breaking. It's always more and more added upon you. But hey, God's grace is always sufficient for you. So we should look to the Lord. Amen. Now, here's another thing that I've discovered. If you have read the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25, I always wonder why Jesus didn't say, "Well done, good and fruitful servant." Have you ever wondered why Jesus didn't talk about good, "Well done, good and fruitful servant," since we're talking about fruit? And since the servants in the parable, the good ones, the faithful ones, are productive. Instead, Jesus said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I believe it's because fruit may grow in a season, but faithfulness endures through every season. Fruitfulness reveals what God has done in you, but faithfulness is revealed by how you continue to walk with God through every season of your life, through the ups and the downs, through the pressures and through the lives, whatever like life throws at you. And then you realize that God is not after performance. He's after relationship. And I want to say to you that He loves you. Amen. We'll come to the final point, point number four, the power of abiding. Think about it. It's interesting. After talking about fruit, more fruit, and much fruit, Jesus doesn't tell us to do more work, work harder, produce more, or try to impress Him. He simply says the key to sustaining this fruitfulness is abiding, or to abide in Me. And Jesus said in verse 5, apart from Me, in fact, He says, apart from Me, you can do nothing. The branch has no life of its own apart from Christ. Everything depends upon staying connected to the vine or to Christ. So how does Jesus enable us to abide? He gives us two gifts, His Word and His Spirit. So first, His Word. John 15, verse 3 says that Jesus said that you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. So before fruit, before pruning, before productivity, Jesus begins with His Word. So abiding doesn't begin with striving. It begins with you receiving from the Lord and allow His Word to cleanse you before you ever bear fruit. And then verse 7, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, tells us that abiding is not just us remaining in Christ, but that His Word remains in us as well. His Word renews our mind, shapes our decisions, guides our prayer, and anchors us in truth. Because it is possible for us to look spiritual, to sound spiritual, to appear even fruitful, and yet slowly drifting away from His Word. So Jesus is telling us, do not let this happen to you. So the Word of God is not an accessory that you attach to your spiritual life. It is one of the means by which we abide. And that's why Jesus reminds us in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So we are sustained not merely by reading scriptures, by meeting God through scripture. I want to encourage you, whenever you read God's word, let the word of God read you. I always tell people, spend time in the word of God by letting the word of God read you. Ask God, this word, how does it apply to me? Ask God, what must I do? What must I change? What must I adjust my life so that you'll be aligned to God's word? Let His word read you. Amen. Now, the second is this. Holy Spirit, by His Spirit. So Jesus didn't stop with His Word. He gives us the Holy Spirit. John chapter 15 sits beautifully between John 14, where Jesus promises the Holy Spirit as a helper and comforter, and John chapter 16, where He explains the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, that is not accidental. It means that the Holy Spirit surrounds the entire chapter of John 15. You need the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus knew that He was leaving, He's going to the cross, and so He gave us the one who will never leave. And what is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? He doesn't replace the Word, He brings the Word alive. He abides with us and in us, and He teaches and reminds us of what Jesus has said, and He also guides us into all truth and tells us what Jesus is currently saying. And He gives us strength when ours is gone as well. So without the Holy Spirit, fruit is impossible. Faithfulness is impossible. Finishing well is surely impossible. So we need the Holy Spirit in our lives today. Amen. Now, the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 as well, that do not be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. So in Scripture, wine often represents influence. And so what Paul is saying is this, don't be controlled by natural influence, but be filled, be led, and be shaped by the Holy Spirit. Question for us, what is influencing you today? What is controlling your life and your decisions? Because the Holy Spirit wants to fill you in every part of your life. And for some of us here today, perhaps alcohol has quietly crept into your life and become more than an occasional pleasure. It has become your comfort, your escape, and your dependence. And if that is you today, the Holy Spirit wants to invite you. He's offering you something better. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit and let Him take you higher and further in Him. Amen. Let me close by sharing something personal. Since January this year, I was just seeking the Lord, and I felt the Lord drawing me to spend time with Him at the church altar area. He says, come and sit with me. So almost every lunchtime, when the auditorium is dark, the air condition were off, I would go and sit with the Lord at the altar area. No agenda, no prayer requests, not even to God give me a download for sermon prep. just worshiping Him, just listening and just waiting on Him and giving thanks for everyone of you in my life, for the people that God has brought into my life. You see, I've become so busy serving Jesus that I've stopped sitting with Him. You know, I always say this, that we are always so busy that I have to remind myself, don't rush here, don't rush there. We are Singaporeans, we're not Russians. I cannot say this in Russia, but I can say this anywhere else. So don't rush here and rush there. Sit with the Lord. And there at the altar, the Lord will remind me that, Kevin, you're not an entertainer. You're a shepherd. You're not a performer. You're my pastor. You represent me. And so for some of us, God is inviting you to do the same today. Not to work harder, not to try harder, but simply come sit with Him in whatever that He is drawing and leading you to. It could be at a park, it could be at some place that He designates for you to meet Him there. I don't want to lose that tenderness with the Lord. I don't want to lose that first love that I have with God. And when we abide in Jesus, His life becomes our life. His strength becomes our strength. And His Word steadies and anchors us. And His Spirit fills us and guides us and leads us. And what God begins in us, He will faithfully complete them. Amen. Some of you need to hear this today as well. The oil was always in the olive. The wine was always in the grape. And the calling that God has placed within you has always been inside of you. And so you're not here by accident. Some of you shouldn't be alive today, but yet you are here. Not because you're lucky, but because you're preserved by the mercy of God. And because He isn't finished with you yet. He's still pruning your life, shaping your life, refining you so that you can be a blessing to many. So my prayer for you is that may your life become something that God can pour out to bless many. May your story strengthen somebody else's faith, and may your obedience point others to Jesus. And may what God begins in you become something that will last beyond your lifetime. Amen. Shall we all stand in the presence of God and look to Him in prayer as I invite the worship team just come. There are many things that I shared this morning, but I pray that God will just, like guided missile, target each truth to speak to you in your situation, in what you need to do. Perhaps some of you are in a season of pruning. God has been removing things, and you really don't understand why. Perhaps you're in a season of crushing. You've been asking God, haven't I already walked through this enough? Or perhaps you're like me, Lord, I thought I preached last Sunday. Why am I preaching again this Sunday? And it's nonstop, you know. In the next 3 Sundays, I'll be preaching as well. And those who know me knows I am the most introverted person. Someone shook my hand in the first service and said, Pastor, why are your hands so cold? I said, of course, scared. Then I said, you come and stand on the stage. After a season of fruitfulness, another season of crushing. Because God wants to release something. It's not about what you grow now, it's about what God wants to release through you. If He's pruning you, it's because He loves you. If He's shaping you, it's because He still has purpose for you. A prayer for some of us, our prayer is simply this. God, I don't want to waste this season that I'm in. Teach me to abide in You. Teach me to trust You. Make me not only fruitful, but be faithful. If that is your prayer this morning, and you're saying, God, I am that person. I want to respond to You. I'm in a season of pruning, or you're in a season of crushing, or you're just asking the Lord, just teach me to abide in You, because I want to finish well as well. If that's you, with all eyes closed and heads bowed, would you lift up your hands? And I want to pray for you. Thank You, Lord. Bless You, Lord. Don't wait for someone else. Just respond to the Lord. Father, You see the hands that are lifted up. We thank You, Lord, for the hands that are reaching out to You and said, Lord, when I cannot, You take over. And You take over, Lord. That we may not understand every season, but we choose to trust You, the one who holds every season. Thank you that you're the vine dresser, that you never waste a cut, but that every pruning has a purpose, every crushing has its meaning, every season is held in your hands. We may not understand every season, but we're coming to you and we choose to trust you who holds every season of our lives, Lord. I thank you for the hands that are lifted. I pray you bless them and cause them to just not only be fruitful, but Lord, that they will endure till the end, Lord. Hallelujah. And for those of you who have lifted up your hands, as I ask Bob to lead us in the worship, I want to encourage you to take one more step of faith, and that's to come to the front as the Lord leads you, and just respond to Him, and that the pastors and the deacons may continue to stand with you and pray with you. So if that's you and the Lord is drawing you, I want to encourage you to come to the front, even as I ask Bob to just lead us in chorus. Amen.
And how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how.
Worshipping, I'm gonna ask the pastor and deacons to just quickly go around, just stand with you and pray with you and pray for you as we continue to worship. Yeah, amen.
Lift it up. How great is our God.
For those of you at the altar area, to stay and remain where you are until someone has prayed for you and prayed with you. For the rest of us, would you lift up our hands? I'm going to dismiss the service very soon, but let's just lift up our hands and just worship God for a few more moments. There's something that we can offer to God that we can never ever offer to God in heaven, and it's worship that comes from a broken heart, worship that comes from betrayal, worship in the midst of disappointment. Because in heaven, you don't have such things, disappointment, betrayal. But you're offering something right where you are. Whenever you worship God on earth, that in spite of your circumstance, in spite of your situation, you're lifting up your hands and, Lord, I may not understand, but I choose to worship. Someone once said this, that when you can't find God, worship Him and He will find you. And so, Lord, this morning with our hands lifted up, Lord, we said, Lord, may our life, Lord, be a worship unto You, God. May our life be a song, a melody unto You. May every single person in this church count for You, Lord. Lord, make our lives count for You. May our lives reflect Jesus, and may our lives be poured out so that many will be blessed and many will know You, and that our Heavenly Father is glorified. And so, Lord, this morning, even as we close this service, even as Your people has come to bless You, we pray now, bless Your people this day. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord makes His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and grant you His peace. And so may the Lord put His name on you. The blessings of God the Father, the blessings of God the Son, the blessings of God the Holy Spirit be in you and abide with you now and forevermore. And everybody say, amen and amen. One more time, let's give God a big praise offering.
Just listen to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.